We begin the current daf, Masech the Sanhedrin, daf Samachay. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the series of all the previous Mishnahs, which was going on the original Mishnah that started the list of all those prohibitions, violations that get the death penalty of Skila. And now it goes through each one, defining its parameters and characteristics. So the Mishnah says, Baal Oiv, which is one of those who practices Oiv that gets Skila for practicing that. What is that? Zeh Pitim. That's the name of this sorcerer, of Pitim, which brings up the dead from the ground, their spirits, and they put them by their armpits, underneath their arms, Hamadab Mishechi, where they then talk from their armpits. Similarly, B'yadaini, which is another type of this type of sorcery, is Zeh Hamadab B'fiv, where it talks actually from the sorcerer's mouth. As the Gemara explains, there's a certain wild animal that's called Yadua, and they take a bone from that animal and put it into their mouth, and then the bone speaks from itself through the witchcraft, through the sorcery. That's these two different types of violations that, if one practices this, gets skila. As the Mishnah says, Hare'elu b'skila, both of them get stoned. As the Pasuk says, Mirka Chaf, when it mentions the Oiv and the Yadayin, it says, Be'evin yirgim o'isim, that with stone they'll be stoned. V'hanishbam, and whoever goes and comes and asks them, who wants to find out about the future, which they can tell and get this information from the mason, from those that are dead, for example, like Shaul HaMelech, is Bazhara. That individual only violates a negative prohibition, which it says in the Torah, Al Tifnu Al Oivis, do not turn towards the Oivis, but that person does not get Skila. In contrast, the one that actually practices the witchcraft, they're warned from a different pasuk in Devarim Yudches, Lo Yimotze Bach HaShanah, be found amongst you, where it continues, as B'chay V'chav V'shoyel Oiv Yudayni, and they ask in the Oiv Yudayni, and they, the pasuk says, they do get Skila. Now, the Gemara asks an interesting question on our Mishnah. Mishnah Hacha, why is it different over here in our Mishnah when it's talking about the list of those that get skila, get the death penalty of being stoned, where Diktani Baal Oiv Yadayni, where it mentions both, although they're similar, where they use the dead to find out certain different secrets, where it mentions the Baal Oiv and Yadayni. Well, Mishnah Gabi Krisis, why is the difference in Masechtas Krisis when it goes through the whole list of those that get the punishment of Karis, which is that if one does that by mistake, then they're going to be chayav karma chatas, which is oivin in yudaini. If there's hasra, then they get a mises bezdin, because they were warned before, and then deliberately they get the death penalty of skila. If there's no hasra, although they did it deliberately, then the halacha is going to be that they're going to get karis. They can't be executed in the court, but they're going to be executed by the hands of heaven. So why over there in that list of Masechtas Krisis, the Ketani, that the Mishnah there taught in the beginning of the Masechta Nav Beis, Baal Oiv Vishayr Yedayni, why does it only mention Oiv and Livad Yedayni? Why is it any difference? If you're going to say one, because it means all those the type, so our Mishnah also should have just said one. And if here it says two, why there does it say one? Rabbi Yechonim, he says, Hoyl Vishneim Balav Echad Nemer, it's because actually both of them, Oiv and Yedayni, are mentioned and are prohibited from the same Pasuk. The pasuk says, "Al tifnu al oivis val yedayni." Don't turn towards those who practice this with the dead of the oiv and yedayni. And therefore, actually, if someone does both those, goes to the oiv and yedayni, if someone practices the oiv and yedayni in one lapse of awareness, he's actually only going to be chayv for one karban chatas, because it's the negative prohibition that separates it into separate karbanas chatas. As the pasuk says in Vayikra Dalet, when it talks about karban chatas, says, "Ashaloi se'asena," which should not be done, which are things which are loy sase, which is the negative prohibition. And that's what the pasuk says over there, oyhoide alav, or if he finds out about it, which is then he'll have to bring a karma chatas, obviously is that the chatas offering is contingent upon the negative prohibition. And here, even though if one would do only oiv or yedaini, would be liable for karma chatas, but this negative prohibition is going on both of them. And that's why the Mishnah over there, Masechtas Krisis, did not mention both oiv and yedaini, because the Mishnah over there was listing things that if you do each one of them, you would be liable for each one of them a separate karma chatas. As the Gemara says over there in the beginning of that Gemara, the Gemara asks over there, why does it give a list? So on that, the Gemara says, to tell you that even if you did all these things in one lapse of awareness, you'd be chayav karma chatas for each one of them. And that's why the Mishnah over there doesn't say 37 krisis, and which would then make a person liable for 37 karbanas chatas if he does it by mistake, because actually the one of Oiv and Yedayni would not be counted as two, but rather as one, and that's why over there it only mentions one. In contrast, over here, where we're talking about the Chiv of Skila, that's independent. There it was only talking about regarding that you would be chayv on each one. Here, you're getting only one death penalty anyway. There is talking about a list of you'll be chayv for each one of the separate karbanas chatas that does not apply by Oiv and Yedayni. Now, so then why, when it mentioned over here, did it say because Rabbi Yochanan said, because both of them are in one negative prohibition. Why didn't it say, because both of them are included in one chiv of karis? It's seemingly that the karmachatis is contingent on the karis, as the mission of the increases seems to indicate. That says Rashi, because actually the separation of karbanas chatas is not totally dependent on the separation on chiyiv krisis. Because actually there's a halacha, for example, when someone makes the ingredients of the Shemen HaMishcha and then goes and anoints the Shemen HaMishcha, where there's two negative prohibitions, because the pasuk says, al basar adam li'isach, don't anoint with it. And it says, maskunte le'isasu kumay, don't make a mixture like that, as the pasuk says, Shemay Islamin. So though, actually, if one does both of them, he only gets one chiv of karis, as the pasuk says over there. Ish asher yirkach kamayu, v'asheyit memen alzar, it mentions both making it and putting on a person. It says, v'nichas me'amav, where it includes it over there into one chiv of karis. In spite of that, the halacha is, when someone does both of those b'shegig, he actually is going to have to bring a karmachatis in each one. That's where when Rabbi Yochanan says it, he says in the terminology of lav echad, not karis echad, because actually it's contingent upon the prohibition. And here, since they're from one prohibition of al tifna lo ivis b'yidaynim, and therefore over there it's only mentioned in one chiv chatis, not as I mentioned over here, both oiv and yidayni. That's Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. Rish Lakish, he gives a different reason. He says yidayni, the reason why the Mishnah over there does not mention yidayni is because even if one would do only yidayni, he actually would not be chayav a karma chatas. Why not? Because there's no action involved in the violation of practicing yidayni. And a karma chatas only comes if one does an action, like the pasuk says, v'as achas, and someone does one of those mitzvahs which he's not supposed to do, he violates, then he has to bring a karma chatas. In contrast, the bal oiv, the one who practices oiv, he has to, as the Gemara will tell us later on, keep his arm down to his body to keep the bone there by his armpit. That moving his arm is considered an action. In contrast, putting the bone of the yidayni inside his mouth, it doesn't talk when he does the action of putting it in his mouth. It only talks later when it's already in there, and then it talks by itself. So the violation is when it's talking, then he's not doing an action, and therefore that cannot be something that's chayav achatas. Here we're told manachiv skila, that's not contingent upon an action. There it's somal karmachatas and mesachlis krisis, that's contingent upon an action, and therefore yidayni is not mentioned, because actually, even by itself, would not be mechayav a karban. That's Rish Lakish's interpretation. Now ask the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, that he said that the reason why that yidayni wasn't mentioned is only because, since if you do both of them, you're not going to be chayav two anyway, because they learned that from the same negative prohibition. But actually, if one did yidayni by itself, he would be chayav a karban. So then, Maishna Balaiv Dinokit. So then, why does the Tano over the increases mention Oiv and leave out Yidaini? Why not say Yidaini and leave out Oiv? If they're both the same thing, according to Rabbi Yechon, and just it's only going to have one and not the other, so then why pick Oiv and not Yidaini? And that says the Gemara, Mishum the Pasach Bekra, because we always find whenever it talks about Oiv and Yidaini, it always mentions Oiv first. So the first one that was mentioned in the Torah is the one that we mentioned there, and we leave out Yidaini. So the Gemara asks, Rish Lakish, my time alayim ak Rabbi Yechanan. Why didn't Rish Lakish say like Rabbi Yechanan? Seemingly, that's a very valid reason why the Mishnah over there does not say Yidayni, is because anyways, they're from the same lav, and therefore you only can be chayv one chatas and not two. So Amar Papa says, because chalukin hein b'misa. Rish Lakish held that when it specifies, when it mentions their chiyav misa, if one practices oiv and Yidayni, which is skila, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, the Torah separates them. Because when the way it's written, it says, if it's going to be amongst you, oiv oyedaini, either one or the other, then maisi masu die, they shall surely die. But even your gemoisim, the main one where it talks about the chiv of skila, it doesn't say oiv viyedaini. And therefore, actually, if it would be, like Rabbi Yechanan, that yedaini would be chayiv in the carbon, then Rish Lakish says, then actually you would be chayiv to go ahead and get two carbonas, one for oiv and one for yedaini. And therefore, he says, I can't say like Rabbi Yechanan. Because if that was the case, then actually you would be chayiv too. I say like me that there's no chiv of carbon for yidainu, because there's no maisa. That's why it doesn't mention over there. But if it was like Rabbi Yechanan that actually they are both chayiv, they do have independent chiyuvim, it's just that when you do both together, it can be chayiv. And the Rish Lakish disagrees. He says no. Even though they have one lav, but since they have both two separate chiyuv and misas, you actually would be chayiv two gabanas chatas. Whereas the Gemara tells Rabbi Yechanan, he disagrees. He says, no, chalukah de lav shma chalukah. Only when the Torah separates them into separate negative prohibitions, then they're considered separate to be chayiv, separate kabanas chatas. The misa lo shma chalukah, but if they only separate in their death penalties, which, yeah, he agrees to Rish Lakish, they're mentioned separately, that wouldn't be enough to be chayiv them individual kabanas chatas. Now the Gemara says the other way, Rabbi Yechon, my time limit Krish Lakish. Why didn't Rabbi Yechon say Krish Lakish to say that no, Yudaini actually is never chayav for a carbon, because most definitely you need to do an action to be chayav a carbon, and Yudaini, forget about that, you can't be chayav on Ovi and Yudaini together too, Yudaini itself should never be chayav a carbon like Krish Lakish said, because there's no action involved. So on that says the Gemara, because Amalach Rabbi Yechon would tell you that no, Masnitin the creases Rabbi Kiva. If one analyzes, you notice that the Mishnah Masechta's creases is going like Rabbi Kiva, because one of those listed over there is Megadif. The Megadif is someone, the Amma that Rabbi Kiva says you can be chayiv in that list, Lebina Maisa. Rabbi Kiva holds that you don't need to have an action. And actually, the Rabbanan do disagree with Ibn Megadif, and they say because, yeah, since there's no mice over there, when one blasphemes, he's not doing any actions, he's just saying something, then they hold that there's not going to be a chiv. But therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, there is going to be a liability for Yudaini by itself, because he holds you don't need to have an action. You're right, Yudaini, one's not doing anything, the bone is talking by itself. And so then why was it not mentioned over there? Is only because, like Rabbi Yechon said, because you can't be chayiv too for Oiv and Yudaini, because they learned that from the same negative prohibition. But that's why you can't say the Krish Lakish, because although there's no Maisa, it's going to be keep holds, you don't need to have a Maisa. But says the Gemara Krish Lakish, he says, yeah, although you're right, you proved that that Mishnah there is going like Rabbi Kiva, because one of those listed is Megadif, and that's only like Rabbi Kiva, not like Rabbanan. But he says, although Rabbi Kiva does not need a large action, because when one's speaking, one's barely doing anything, just moving lips, but he holds that you do need to have a small action, where at least when one is being Megadif, as what the Gemara is going to shortly say, there's a small action going on. But by Yedaini, he's not doing anything. He's just holding the bone in his mouth and is talking by itself. And that's why he says that even according to Rabbi Kiva, who you proved the Mishnah is going like, would have to say, like I'm saying, said Rish Lakish, that there's actually no liability at all, even for Yudaini by itself, because there's no action at all. Which the Gemara asks, Megadif, my Maisik, what is the action by a blasphemer? He's also not doing anything. He's not moving, not doing anything, not hurting someone. Says the Gemara, Akim is Fasav. It's the turning of the movements of his lips, which move and shake as he talks. Rabbi Kiva considers that as have a maisa, that's an action and conscious. By Yudaini, you're not even moving your lips. The bone's just talking by itself. And that's why it's not difficult in Rish Lakish. And again, that's why he disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan, because although it's like Rabbi Kiva, but you still need to have some action out, but whereas by Yudaini, there's no action at all. Now the Gemara asks, well, Baal Oiv, my maisik, as we alluded to this earlier, so then why by Oiv is that mentioned, according to Rish Lakish, when there's absolutely no action there at all? One just holds the bone under one's armpit, and then there also, the answers come from the dead. Says the Gemara, Hakasha Zerua Oisav HaMaisa. The holding of the arm by the side of the body, by holding the bone in, that's an action. In the mouth, one doesn't have to do anything, it just sits there. Holding that deer, that's an action, and therefore, that's going to be at least somewhat of an action, even according to Rabbi Kiva, that would make a person chayav for a karma chatas. Now, the Gemara asks, Vafil Rabbanan, was Rish Lakish saying that it's going to be considered an action for Oiv, even according to the Rabbanan? In other words, from the fact that the Rabbanan only disagree with that list of Rabbi Kiva within the Mishnah Masechta's creases only by Megadiv, by the blasphemer, where they hold, that's not an action. That's not something that one would be chayav on. But by the case of Baal Oiv, they agree that there is going to be a chiv of a karma chatas. Obviously, that the holding of the arm to the side of the body of the Baal Oiv is considered an action. Is that so? But for Tanya, within the Reis, it says as follows. Ein chayav, a person is not chayav a carbon when he does by mistake, regarding Avodah Zarah, only if he's doing an action. Kagoin, for example, zibuach, slaughtering an animal, kiter, burning, benisach, I'm pouring, v'ashtachavam, bowing down. Those are things that are actions that someone's going to be liable for a chatas regarding avoy dezar. Now, v'amish lakish, Rish Lakish had said regarding that braisa, man tan hishtachavam, who's the tan of that braisa that holds that bowing down is considered an action to be chayav akar b'chatas? Says Rish Lakish, Rabbi Kiva, it's going like Rabbi Kiva. The Amma, Lebeina Maisa, who says you don't need to have a large action. Rather, even a small little action, like just moving one's body posture down, like in a bow, that's considered already an action to be chayav for a karma chatas. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan, he's quoted as saying, Afilatim Rabbanan. You could say that Bryce is going even like Rabbanan. Because although the Rabbanan hold that you need to have a full-fledged action, Kfifas Kaimasal, the Rabbanan have a Maisa. The bowing down of one's posture is considered an action. So says the Gemara, Sahasl Rish Lakish. Now, according to what Rish Lakish said, that Kefifas Kemasal Rabbanu Lo Have a Maisa, he held that no, that price has to be like Rabbi Kiva. Because just bowing one's posture according to Rabban, that's not going to be considered an action. So Hakash is Ra'isav the Ba'alayv Have a Maisa, then what? Holding your arm down that's going to be considered an action where you're saying that according to Rabbanan, they don't disagree with Oiv, and you're saying that they're considering that an action. How is that an action, keeping your arm down just to hold the bone in place in the underarm? Yet bowing down the whole posture is not considered a Maisa according to Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Kikam Shlokish Nami, you're right. When your Shlokish had been quoted as saying that holding one's arm down for the Baal Oiv is considered a Maisa, that was said, Rabbi Kiva, that was going according to Rabbi Kiva, who all he needs is a Maisa Zuta, a small action. But you're right, according to Rabbanan, they disagree. They would hold that Baal Oiv would not be Chayiv, a Korban Chatas, because that's not considered an action, if even bowing down is not considered an action. That is the Gemara, but Ihach, if that's the case, that the Mishnah over there, where it's talking about the opinion of the Rabbanan, when they say they disagree with Rabbi Kiva in the case of Megadav and the blasphemer, that they say, no, one is not Chayiv Chatas in that case, because it's not an action. And by a Korban Chatas, it says, Tere Achas Yilachem Lo Isa Bishkog, has to be an action. But if that's the case, then Yatz Megadav Ubal Oiv Mibayle, they should not have just said when they disagreed with Rabbi Kiva that Megadav is excluded from the list. They should have said that Megadav and Baal Oiv is excluded from the list, because we just illustrated, for according to Rish Lakish, that if they hold that bowing down is not an action, for sure Baal Oiv is not an action. So then why is that mentioned there in the list according to Rabbanan? So Ella Ma'ula, rather Ula says that when it mentions the Baal Oiv in the Mishnah Masechtas Krisis, where it's quoted as inferring that Rabbanan agree over there that they would be Chayiv Karma Chatas in that case, it's talking about B'mekatir L'Sheid. That Baal Oiv is a specific type of Oiv. It's that he's burning incense for a demon who's in charge of this, who that's a complete action that he's doing to get to the dead. He's burning something for the demon. That's an action. That is a violation which is going to have a maisa and never be chayav karma chatas. You're right. If he practices the oiv of just putting in the mouth, of just holding down by the armpits, well, that's not considered something valid and would not be chayav. When I mentioned over there, contra bun, that you can be chayav, it's talking about a specific type of practicing amongst the category of oiv. Which Amalei Rava asked on this interpretation of Ula, Mekatru l'sheid, burning for the shade, but Oivet is kechavimhu, that's considered idol worship. And that was already mentioned there in the list of the Mishnah over there being Chayav Karma Chatas. So how can you say that's the case that's being added on Baal Oiv? So Elam Rava, rather Rava says it's Mekatru l'chavir. It's talking about where he burns incense for, not for the purposes of worshiping it as a deity, as a god. Rather, it's through burning these incense that he does some type of sorcery which joins together the demons to him so that he could use their help for what he's trying to do with the dead. However, Amalei Abaye asks on Rava, but a makata l'chaber, if someone burns to join them together, chaver chaverhu. This is a negative prohibition in the Torah and Devarim of putting together different elements, which, and through if he does it through this way of sorcery, which is only a negative prohibition. So how could you say that's what would be mechayev karban, that would be chayev karis, which then would also then be mechayev karban chatas if chayver chaver is not that of karis? So says the Gemara, in, yes. Because about Torah Amro chayver zeh, the Torah tells you regarding such a mechaber, which is that since he's combining together deliberately shadim, demons, the Torah says that he's going to get biskila. He's going to get the penalty of death through being stoned. And anyone who deliberately is chayav misa, when he does it by mistake, is chayav karban, in this case, a chatas. Because although, yes, the Torah says, where yechayv chaver, there's only a negative prohibition, that's when he puts together through these sorcerous type of situations, wild animals and domesticated animals and snakes and scorpions, and he brings them all together through these lachash, through these incantations. But specifically when he does it to get the shadim together, that's something which the Torah tells you in that type of situation that would be included in this category of oiv, specifically this type, which would get skila, and that's the case that's mentioned. Now Mishnah, that's the same case that's mentioned over there in Masechtas Krisis, which would be chayav karma chatas, even though it's a form of chaver, which is generally just a negative prohibition, in this case would be chiv of skila. And again, therefore to be chayav karma chatas. It says in Sefer Devarim, chaver chaver, someone who does these combinings through incantations. So says the Braisa, echad chaver gadol, this means whether he's doing a big combining where he gathers a bunch of different animals that are very big, or echad chaver katna, whether he makes a small joining together where he takes vermin and different creepy crawly creatures and gets them to come together. Even if he gathers a snake and scorpions where he wants them to fight with each other or to go to the desert just that they shouldn't be around in the inhabited place and damage people, all these are going to be violating the negative prohibition of Chayv Rechavim. Amar Baye, he says, Hilkach, therefore, Haiman the Tzamed Zibur V'Akrab, whoever joins together a bee and a scorpion, even though his intention was that just to go join them together, that they should kill each other and they shouldn't harm other people, Aser, it's going to be forbidden. And again, as long as it's talking about where they're not running after him and there's no pikuach nefashes, if there's no sake for a person's life, then that's going to be forbidden. Now, going back to what we mentioned before, the Gemara asked Rabbi Yechanan, so we had asked on Rish Lakish, the way he had learned according to the Rabbanon in that Braisa, where he said it has to be like Rabbi Kiva, whereas Rabbi Yechanan disagreed, said it could even be like Rabbanon regarding bowing down. Now, the Gemara asked, now, according to Rabbi Yechanan, why is it different that he says that just bowing down, or just bending one's posture, according to Rabbanon, he learns, is considered an action, and therefore that Braisa that talks about by Hishtachava, one would be Chayav, Favaydah Zara, even according to Rabbanon, yet Vakima Safasav lo have a mice, yet he learns that according to Rabbanon, which everyone does, the Rabbanon say that just moving one's lips, bending the lips, which is the case of Megadav of a blasphemer, the Rabbanon clearly say Mesechta's Krisis is not going to be considered an action. But why is it more of an action of bowing down than moving one's lips? If it seems to be the same type of thing where you're moving part of your body, even though you're not affecting anything in the world, but you're moving it. So Amar Rava, he says, Shani Megadav, the blasphemer is different. Hel v'yeshne believe. The primary liability, the obligation of a punishment by the Megadav is regarding what's going on in his heart. That's why it's not considered a negative prohibition that has an action attached to it. Because it's that his intention is to curse God. Where even if, let's say, someone would curse God all day, but in his heart, he doesn't have that intention. Rather, he's just using that name for some other purpose and he just nicknames it God, then he's not going to be liable. The primary thing is because in his heart he's cursing God. So that's why Megadav is different, because although both of them are, yes, doing minimal actions in the person's body, but the bowing down, the Isser is the bowing down. The Megadav, although he's moving his lips, the primary thing is what's in his heart, and that's why that's not considered an action. However, the Gemara asks, as we continue to Tamid Beis, Masar Reb Zeira. Zeira asks that it's a Bryce and Teres Kayanim that discusses regarding the halachas of a Karban Chatas, which it's said over there in the context of the Par Kohen Mashiach, that it says that if we find that there are those who are chayav of Karban Chatas that are similar to Avodah Zarah, those that are dissimilar to Avodah Zarah, then why is it compared to the halachas of Chatas to learn that from the context of Avodah Zarah? So says the Braisa to tell you, oh, that just like Avodah Zarah is distinct, that one is liable if he does deliberately Karis, and he does it by mistake of Karban Chatas, so to all that do it deliberately are chayav, and then b'shege yogin michayev karmachatas. Or says the Braisa that, wait a second, I could tell you that you could compare it to Avodah Zarah in the following way. Just like Avodah Zarah is distinct, that one is chayev, not just karis of, let's say, but actually more than that, if they warn him and there's witnesses, he gets the death penalty in court, so too maybe all those that I would say that are chayev mises bezdin would also get, if they do it by mistake, a karmachatas. And what would I be including more than that that has the chayev of karis? Would be if someone curses his father, which has only the chiv mises bezdin, a mesis, someone that tries seducing someone to do avodah zarah, and edim zayimin, those witnesses that had attempted to say false testimony against someone else, and turns out that they were lying, there were actually other witnesses saying that you couldn't have seen that, you were with us at that time, where they have those three cases are chiv mises bezdin. Maybe those cases would be also chayav chamer chatas if they do it by mistake. Says the Braisa, well, it says va'asa. Regarding a karma chatas, it says that only if one does an action is ichav a karma chatas. Which our Gemara continues quoting from the Braisa, which is yatsu edim zayimu, which excludes the witnesses which were huzam, she'im behem maisa, where they didn't do any action. They didn't do anything, they didn't punch anyone, didn't steal anything, they didn't do anything, they just falsely testified. Where there, if they did it by mistake, they're not going to ichav a karma chatas. On that, asked the Gemara, asked Reb Zeira, Bavamai, why isn't the moving of the lips of the Eid Muzayim considered an action? There the element is not because what's in their heart, it's the action that's the primary thing. So why is that any different than we said they're bowing down, which is a minimal action, but it's primarily in the body, in contrast to Megadav, which is primarily in the heart? That's why you said that Akimus Tepasayim is not going to be an action. Then Eid Muzayim, which is not primarily in the heart, should be Chayav Akar Mechatzis for the minimal action of moving their lips. So Amar Rava says, no, because Shani Eid Mzayman, these Eid Mzayman are different. Since ultimately their primary obligation is just in their voice that's heard in front of the court, and voice is considered something that's less mashasha. There's no substance to voice. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. And therefore, it's essentially the same like Magadif, which is contingent primarily in the heart. Here is primarily in the voice, and both of them are things that don't have substance action to it. And that's why Edom Zayim would also be Potter for Bekar Mechatas. On that, the Gemara, but Bekar Rabbi Yechon Olav Maisu, is that really so that one's own voice, according to Rabbi Yechon, is not considered an action? But Ve'edma, what we learn, Chasama Bekar. If someone muzzles a cow that's threshing, just with his voice. How so? When the animal's about to eat, he goes, oh, he screams. And that stops it from eating. That's like muzzling it with one's voice. Or when he gebekoil, or if let's say he actually has an ox and a donkey that are plowing together, and he gets them to go, which is a forbidden mixture, by screaming at them, he says, oh, and then they stop moving. So he's making them move, which is the violation of the Issa of Klayim. Rabbi Yechon Amachayiv, he says, in these two cases, one is liable. Veshlakash Amapot, Veshlakash says, you're exempt. Why? He says, Rabbi Yechon Amachayiv, he says, you're liable because Akimas Piv Havamaisa, just the movement of the lips, saying, oh, go, he's moving his lips, that's an action. Veshlakash Amapot, says, you're exempt because Akimas Piv Havamaisa, just moving of the lips is not an action. But one thing you see that according to Rabbi Yechon, voice with Akimas Vasayim is an action. So then why is Edom Zayman going to be exempt from Makar Machatas? So Elam Rava, rather Rava gives a different reason. He says, Shani Edom Zayman, the Edom Zayman are different. Because actually the primary liability that their punishment comes is because of what they saw. Meaning because they testify what they saw, and it turns out they were lying, but what they saw, seeing, is not an action. One sees and one just sees. And therefore, that's why, since their primary obligation, which is similar to the context of Megadif, which the primary liability is for what's in the heart, which is not an action, so to Edom Zayman, the primary thing is what they saw, which is not an action, and although Akimas Vasayim, let's say with Koil, or just by itself, would be an action, but if the primary thing is something else, which is not an action, therefore, as in the case of Edom Zayman, there's going to be an exemption from Makar Mechatas. So Gemara continues on the topic of our Mishnah, Tana Banan Abraisa Bal Oif. The one who practices Oiv is Zeha Medaber Bein HaProkim, is someone who speaks from the dead that's between by his joints, meaning he brings up the dead, the spirits of the dead, which then sits on between by one of his joints of the sorcerer, for example, on the joints of his finger or by his knees, Umi Bein HaTziliyadav, and between his armpits. Yedaini, that's Zeha Manich Etzim Yedua Befiv, that's someone that puts the bone of this wild animal called Yedua in his mouth, Umedabim Elam, and it talks by itself. Now, actually, the Gemara asks Meisvei. The Gemara asks from a pasuk in Yeshaya on this brisa. The pasuk says, "V'hayi ka'ayiv me'aretz," that it will be like as oiv is from the ground. Same thing will be koylech, will be your voice, which is just like that. That is weak. So too, your voice is going to be weak. Now, one thing we see from the pasuk is that it sounds like that oiv comes from the ground. My love de mishtoi ki urchi, isn't it that it talks as it normally is from the grave? And that's why actually the voice is faint from the oiv, which is what was telling the Jewish people that your voice is also going to be faint, because it's coming all the way from the ground, which is not like the Braisa who said that it, actually the spirit comes up and rests on his joints. So the Gemara, no, the salik v'yaseh ben aprakim v'mishtoi. It actually comes up and sits by his joints, and then it talks. Now, although the voice is faint, that's only because there's no lifeblood to the person. The person is dead, so it's coming out very faint. But not because it's coming from the ground, but because it's just because it's dead, but it does come to the joints. You might ask another question. Toshima, come in here from a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, V'temer Isha El Shol, the woman who was practicing this sorcery to Shol HaMelech, who had asked, he wanted to bring up Shmuel HaNavi to ask a question that he had. She said, Elohim Re'isi Olam Ha'aretz, I saw this Elohim, the spirits that are coming up from the ground. Now, my love, the Mishtoi Kerochi, isn't it because the dead is talking as it normally is in the grave, and therefore the voice is coming up from the ground? Lai says the Gemara, no, the Yaseh Ben HaProk Mishtoi, that actually came up from the ground, settles on the joints, and then it speaks. So therefore it's not a contradiction to the Braisa. Tarnabon, the Gemara continues with another Braisa on this halacha, Baal Oiv, someone who practices Oiv. So, Echad Amala B'Zechuroi, whether it's that the way the sorcerer practices, that he lifts up the spirit of the dead and it goes on top of his male member, or Ve'echad Anishal B'Gagolus, or whether someone has the skull of a dead person who's lying there on the ground, which then through the witchcraft that he does, the skull answers all the questions that the sorcerer is asking, both of those are included in the Ister of Oif. And says the Braisa, what is the practical difference between those two different practices? Well, Mala Bizakure, the one who lifts up the dead onto his male member, Eina Oila Kadarka, doesn't come up in the normal way. Rather, comes up feet first, not head first. And also, Eina Oila B'Shabbos, in such a type of Oiv, it doesn't come up on Shabbos. Whereas Nishal B'Gagos, if he's asking regarding a skull that's in front of him, Oila Kadarka, it comes up in the normal way, and Va'Oila B'Shabbos, and it comes up on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara asks, Oila, regarding this last case of when he asks the skull, it comes up. Where is it going? It's laying there right in front of him. It's not like buried 6 feet under, it has to come up. It's right there. So what does it mean that it's coming up? Eleimer rather amends the Gemara to say, not that it's oyle kedarke. It responds in its normal way, meaning it responds from right where it is and doesn't have to come up and rest on his joints as it does in the other cases. And it also responds on Shabbos. Now, actually, related to this idea, the Gemara says, "Va'av she'lezu shall turn the srafas harashas Rabbi Kiva." That also this question, because the wicked turn the srafas had actually asked Rabbi Kiva many questions, but also related to this last halacha, he also asked the following question of Rabbi Kiva. Amalei said to Rabbi Kiva, "Umay yom miyamayim? What's different this day from all the other days? In other words, why is the day of Shabbos considered more distinguished than all the other days of the week?" So Amalei, so Rabbi Kiva responded to him with a question back. "Umay gavim u'guvrin? And what is this man different than all other men? What makes a person like you, a distinguished, honorable minister, more than all the other people?" So Amalei, he said back to Rabbi Kiva, "Demari tzavi, because my master desires me, he wants to make me great, the Caesar likes me, and therefore made me into a ruler." So said Rabbi Kiva to him, "Shabbos nami, demari tzavi. The master desires it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and warns us regarding honoring Shabbos." So Amalei, so turned the Shabbos, Harasha said to him, "No, hachikim alach, this is what I'm telling you. Miyamer de in the Shabbat, who said that today is Shabbos? Maybe this is one of the other weekdays and we got confused and today's not really Shabbos." So Amalei, Rabbi Kiva said to him, "Nahar Savatin Yechiech, the Savatin River will prove," which was a river which had many wild stones and rocks that all the week would be rushing through over there, and on Shabbos it would rest and would be calm and the rocks would not be throwing around. So it's obvious today is Shabbos because just go ahead and look at the river. Bal oiv yichich, so too, which is related to the previous halacha, the one who practices oiv will prove, where when he tries bringing up the dead on Shabbos, it doesn't come up on Shabbos. So we note that today Shabbos. And third of all, kivri shel av, the grave of his father, meaning referring to turn the shofar himself, yichich will prove because all the days of the week, smoke would come out from his grave because he's being judged and being burnt for his sins. Whereas she'ein mala oshrim b'Shabbos, whereas today the smoke doesn't come up on Shabbos because on Shabbos even the sinners of Gehenna get the rest of Shabbos, and that's the third reason how we know that today is Shabbos. So Amaloi, regarding the last point, turn the Shabbos said to him, "Bizisai, you have degraded him; bayashta, you have embarrassed him; mikilosai, and you have blasphemed him." Which Rashi says is not referring to a curse, but rather like giduv, that when you talk about my father like that, you have really ridiculed him and embarrassed him. Now, I think we're asked a question regarding these other types of practices which are under the same category of Oiv and Yedaini, which are these types of sorcery. Shoyel Oiv, the one who asks Oiv, which is the type that we're talking about till now, Hainu v'Torah Shalom Mason, that seems to be something else which is also mentioned in Devarim Yudches Yud Aleph, when it says, "And those who seek answers from the dead." So why are both of them written in the same place? What's the difference between Oiv and Torah Shalom Mason? So answers the Gemara, Derish Lameisim, that halacha, that isra of seeking the dead, is Kiditan, like Linda Bryce says, is a different practice. So the Pasuk says in the Varam, but Derish Lameisim, he seeks the dead, Zehamarav Atzmoy, this is someone that starves himself, V'haylich V'lam B'Vesakras, and he goes and he sleeps in the cemetery, K'deshatisho Lav Ruach Tumah, so that the spirit of impurity shall rest on him, which is the demon of the cemetery, should like him and should help him out with his sorcery. And therefore, that's different than the practice of Oiv, which we said is a different form of sorcery. Now, the Gemara tells us, when Rabbi Kiva would reach this pasuk, he would cry. It says, if someone who starves himself to that a spirit of impurity shall rest in him. That's what happens, the spirit of impurity rests on him. So if someone starves himself so that a spirit of purity, which is of the prophecy of the divine presence, should rest on him, all the more so that the measurement should tell us that through fasting and through beseeching Hashem, that the divine presence should rest on a person, because as we know, the measurement of good that Hashem has is more than the measurement of bad and the punishment of impurity in the world. And yet we scream, and yet we're not answered. Because says Rabbi Kiva, what should I do? Because our sins caused it to us. Like the pasuk says in Yeshayah, because it's only your sins that separate between you and your God. Now regarding that pasuk, Amar Rav, he says, if the righteous would want, and that is, if they would purify themselves, if they wouldn't have sins, and they would not be separated between them and Hashem, if they would be pure from all sin, Bara Alma, they'd be able to create the world. What does that mean? Shlem, like it says in the pasuk, because it was your sins that separated you from Hashem. But if there was no sins, you wouldn't be have any separation between you and Hashem. You're part of Hashem. And just like Hashem creates the world, a person would have that same power. As the Gemara tells us, Rava Bar Gavra, Rava actually created a person through what's known as Sefer Yetzirah, which that he learned over there, the different combinations and computations of the names of Hashem and the letters of the Aleph Beis, and through that he was able to, which is stockled by Reis Abra Alma, through the Torah, one could go out and create the world, he was able to create a man. Now Shadal Kamed Reb Zeir, he actually sent that man in front of Reb Zeir. So Reb Zeir was talking with him, and that person wasn't responding to him, he didn't have the power of speech, which is known as a Gailim, which only has the physical but not the spiritual. So Reb Zeir said to him, Min, you're from those who were created through Chavrayad, from my colleagues, Hadal Afrach, go back to the earth. You're not a person. You're not someone that can speak, and therefore go back to the dust. Similarly, the Gemara tells Rav Chanina, Rav Ishia, have a yasvi called Mali Shabso. They would sit every Arab Shabbos. For asking for Sefer Yetzirah, they would involve themselves in the study of the Sefer Yetzirah. Umivrulahu igla tilsa. They would create a third. Either it means a calf that is as if it was already reached a third of its age, which is actually a very choice type of when the meat is very tasty, then, as the Gemara says, or it means it's very tasty as if it's the third born, when the mother ready, then the third born child is already healthier, more robust, has a better taste, and then they actually would eat it. And this was something that they created through the Sefer Yetzirah. Now, continuing on these halachas, the Gemara says, in the Braisa, under the same category of this Chayver, Chavar, and Shayel, Yedaini, and Darish Alamesim, so there's another halacha called ma'inin, which is also forbidden in the Torah. So what is ma'inin? So Reb Shimon, he says, Zeha maver shiva minei zachar. This is someone that takes seven different types of semen, from different creatures, and he puts it ala ayin on his eye, and through that he practices sorcery. V'chamayim, they give a different interpretation. They say, Zeha eiches esho anayim. That's where the word ma'inin comes from, the word of ayin. Someone who grabs a hold of people's eyes, which is, he's illusionist, that he holds and he closes their eyes, he shows them things of like wonder, which is not really doing anything, it's sleight of hand, or he's doing different things, creating the illusion, that's the iser of ma'inin. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says, Zeha machashav itim b'shois. This is someone who actually calculates different times and hours. And that's where the time of ma'inin comes from, like the master of the einos, of the times, which is that he's discerning of what time it is. V'ayman, he says, for example, Hayom Yofel Latzis. Oh, today's a good day to go out on the road and you'll be successful. L'machor Yofel Likach. Tomorrow is a good day to buy and you'll make money if you buy. Or Limudei Ervai Shavias. It's already the norm that it's been where the year before Shemitah that it's going to be Chitin Yofes, that's when the wheat is very good. Or he says, Ikuri Kitnias, if someone uproots the legumes and he doesn't just reap it, Miyais Rais, that will prevent it from being bad, where it's not going to become wormy and it's not going to rot. Again, that's, according to that interpretation, is the Ma'inan, where he's about certain times. Now's a good time for this, now's a good time for that. That, those looking at the world and those types of ominous timing, that's not something that a Jewish person does. He's Tamati Mashal Mekecha, and one violates Ma'inan if he does that. Another one that's mentioned in the Torah is Menachish. What is Menachish? So it says the Brisa, this is someone that says, I see his bread fell out of his mouth. He's got to be worried today from being harmed. Or Makle Nafle Miyada, I saw his stick fell out of his hand. Or Benoi Karle Ma'achrav, his son was calling him from behind. Or Ayrav Karle, a raven was calling him. Or Tzvihev Sika Bederach, a deer stopped him in his road, meaning he was going from east to west, and a deer came in front of him north to south, which stopped him in his tracks. Or Nachash Miminai, a snake was on his right side. Or Bishul Mismaila, there was a fox on his left side. Where all of these things are bad omens for the person, which these are all practices of Nichosh, of Benachish, which is forbidden. or is it continue atop of Samachvav Med Aleph when the collector comes to collect tax from him or some other city need, and he says, look, I ask of you, Al Taschel Bi, don't start with me. I don't want to be the first one that when it comes to loss, because it's a bad sign where the first one to lose is me. Or let's say when they were collecting from him a debt, he says, look, Shacharsu, it's the morning. I don't want to start off my day with being collected from. It's a bad omen. Or he says, Rosh Chodeshu, it's the beginning of the month. Wait till tomorrow. I don't want the month to start off like this. Or Matzah Shabbos, it's right after Shabbos, it's the beginning of the week. I don't want to start it off with these bad signs. These are all included in the prohibition of being menachesh. Now the Gemara concludes, the Pasuk of Yikra says, Lo Yisanachashu, Lo Yisaynenu, which are the two negative prohibitions that we just explained the previous two brises, do not practice nichush or being ma'inin, which we have different interpretations of what Lo Yisaynenu is. Says the Brisa, Kugin Elo Menachashim. What are cases of Menachashim? Is that when they go out on the road or when they start some new venture, they first check it out, Bechulda, with the weasel, Ba'ifers, and the birds, and Bedugman, the fish, to say, hey, let me see how they are today. Let me check my pets to see, is it a good sign? Is it a bad sign? Let me see if I should do that or not. Those are people that are practicing Leis Anachashu, which is a violation in the Torah of Leis Anachashu. And again, one doesn't do that. One talks to Hashem, one follows in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then does what he has to do.